What time is it?
Do you know what time it is?
Prime time. It's prime time.
Well, we've been having these panel discussions covering these events that have been occurring over the past, I suppose we can say over 4 or 5 months now, once these allegations of Mir Foundation and K-Sports and the role that Choi Soon-sil played and the influence she wielded and Woo Byung-woo's role in all of this. And it's really come to a head now because the Constitutional Court on Friday, 11 a.m., which will be broadcast live to the nation, the justices will decide and announce their ruling on the impeachment of President Park Geun-hye. If they rule in favor of impeachment, she immediately steps down from office and she immediately faces the prosecutorial questioning. It could be a forced appearance. They could raid the Blue House. Those are questions that still remain. If they reject the impeachment charges, President Park Geun-hye would then be able to resume office and perhaps for the people who have been calling for her ouster, some recriminations will be faced by then. We're going to get an update on all of what's going on. Our good friend joining us from Hanguk University of Foreign Studies, law professor Hwang Jong-wook. Professor Hwang, thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Henry.
Okay, so they had a meeting today. They've been scheduling these afternoon meetings, the Constitutional Court justices, because they felt they didn't like that break of lunch in the middle if they have a morning meeting so they can kind of talk things through. Yesterday was kind of eyebrow-raising one-hour meeting, and they said, we're not going to have an announcement today. And all people were like, oh, should we be worried or anything like that? Today, they had a two-and-a-half-hour meeting, which was a bit longer than people expected. And about 5:40-ish, the announcement was made that indeed the ruling will be on Friday, 11 a.m., broadcast live. I think a lot of people had expected that the 10th would be the likely date. Your thoughts, your analysis?
Well, it's turning sort of like reading the tea leaves. I think every single, you know, I've watched a couple of shows on the Korean cable news networks, and they kind of focused on the Lee Jung-mi, the head of the Constitutional Court's change of wardrobe,
yeah,
and what
colorful
they signaled.
Purple blouses compared to the,
I think I would like to go the other way and say, you know, I'm really not going to read too much into a variety of signs that they supposedly have come out. I mean, in the end, I think it's going to be not even legal arguments. I think it's just going to be facts. Like, totality of the circumstances, how bad do the justices think that what Park Geun-hye, President Park Geun-hye and Choi Soon-sil did is wrong? And I think there's so much preponderance of evidence that, you know, I guess I'm somewhere around 95% to 99% sure that the impeachment will be upheld.
Okay, so you're not part of that crowd that feels that there are two or three justices right now that are opposing, that feel that either Kaka or Kira, right? Or
So you need six justices to uphold the impeachment, and I just don't see how, even like out of the eight that are sitting right now, that three justices could actually, you know, to say that, okay, let's just dismiss it. I could see sort of going 7-1 or even 6-2, but I guess 7-1 is something that I guess is somewhat likely, although still, you know,
you're saying any rational jurist should be able to see this case.
Exactly. I think so. I mean, I think the facts kind of weigh so overwhelmingly against President Park and Choi Soon-sil's
scandal. Is that a silly argument to say, oh, well, President Park appointed two of these justices, so they have to obviously side with her? That doesn't necessarily hold weight, right?
Not quite. I guess one justice, I might be a little bit wary that he might actually say, you know, hey, I'm going to be the holdout. There's one justice whose background is national security prosecutor, and that such a prosecutor usually gets a slot in the both the Supreme Court and the Constitutional Court. So he might actually say, hey, I'm worried about what might happen after impeachment. So I could sort of see maybe 7-1 vote, but I think I said impeachment will be upheld with a confidence level of like 99%. I guess I'm about 90% sure that it should be an A-0 decision. But, you know, there's some part of me that says, yeah, one justice might just want to be a maverick.
I mean, We've been on the record ahead of the U.S. presidential elections. And I don't like history repeating itself. That's not about your punditry skills. It's just, you know, there are certain things like the future and stability of nations at stake right now with these decisions.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm assuming you've not argued a case before the Constitutional Court.
No, I have not, no.
But can you just explain what's going to happen on Friday? Because from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the way it turns out is either Kang Il-won, who's been sort of the lead jurist on this particular impeachment case, or Lee Jung-mi, the acting chief justice, will read out. I guess what they're going to do with the order is they're going to read out first the opinions, right?
Exactly,
the majority,
yes.
And then the, I guess.
If there's a minority.
Right,
yeah.
A dissenting or minority opinion. And then at the very end, likely Lee Jung-mi, the acting justice, will then announce the ruling,
exactly,
which would be either the president is impeached, she must step down, or they are overruling the impeachment charges. They are saying it's going to be a bit longer than the 2004 Nomu-hyun Constitutional Court impeachment announcement. Because the list of charges is going to be that much longer.
Yep. So during the 2004 impeachment hearing, basically it was about one charge, the election law violation. And now I guess, you know, formally the National Assembly has 12 or 13 charges, although the Constitutional Court has refined it down to 5. Not only that, Constitutional Court law changed in 2005. So they're actually required by law to state the dissenting opinion. Back in 2004, they didn't even have a dissenting opinion. I mean, there were talks that there were dissenting justices, but they just didn't say whether the decision was unanimous or not. Now they have to state what the score is. You know, is it 8-0 or 6-2? And if there is a dissenting opinion, they actually need to read it out loud. So for those reasons, it's possible that it could go much longer than 2004.
Does that factor, I mean, this is just a side question, does that factor give the justices a little pause if it is, let's say, 7-1, that I'm going to be that one guy that potentially goes against the tide of history and issues that dissenting opinion, and people sort of kind of, as you say, read the tea leaves and go, that's the guy that said that, right?
Well, actually, now the guy who actually
the name is actually going to be out there.
Exactly. Yeah. It will be in the history books. Okay. And I think that's why I'm really, really inclined to say this is likely to be an 8-0 decision, because I think any division that people see within the court, I think that will probably incite even more division within the national opinion, if anything.
That's an interesting point, and I suppose a lot of people will be looking to see if that is even going to happen. Tossing out a couple of these legal issues here or arguments that have been made, and you can sort of bat them out of the park. Kim Pyong-woo, the attorney, he's actually going in front of the Constitutional Court now with all these pro-park protesters and issuing his outlandish statements. This idea that the 8-member jury judicial bench cannot rule on this case, where does that argument come from? How does that work?
Well, if you actually take that legal argument really, really seriously, they're sort of misreading a past opinion written by Lee Jung-mi. And she says something about the difference between 8-member court and 9-member court. But that aside, I mean, that is really a bad misreading of the opinion, if anything. But, you know, that aside, I mean, the real statutory provisions that apply are both the Constitution and Constitutional Court law. And basically, all you need is 7-member quorum. So 7-member Constitutional Court can actually render decision on anything. And in order to uphold the impeachment, you need the six justices saying yes. So those are the only real legal constraints upon how many justices you need in order to render a decision.
So then clear up my confusion is because the Lee Jung-hwan-led side, I guess the more sane side of the presidential legal team,
right,
their strategy seemed to be, let's delay this as long as possible until we get to a 7-member bench, and we can count on maybe 2 guys to vote against impeachment.
In that case, if actually one guy or
girl,
whoever, actually just says, I just don't want to render any decision, then you don't have a quorum, right? So all you need to do was actually turn one justice
so
in the
assembly. My point is, doesn't that strategy contradict what Kim Pyong-woo was saying then? Or is it different with 8 or 7?
I think consistency is not exactly something that, you know, you can actually attribute to the entire presidential legal team. I mean, you know, they actually contradicted each other in various public statements. And when asked, they basically said, well, we don't actually control each other. We don't really answer to each other. And you sort of scratch your head. Exactly. Is there a legal strategy involved here? So there was a great deal of confusion about exactly what they're doing.
The other argument that's being tossed out, and as a legal scholar, you can clear our minds on this, is if the president is impeached, they can take this case to the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, and get the president, I suppose, back in power. How does that work?
No, it doesn't work. It's just, it's a really a pipe dream that I've just no idea
where. There was some Korean-American lawyer who first uttered that statement.
Obviously, but whoever said this knows nothing about ICJ and how the international law works. It just has zero basis in facts or international law.
Like, this is like what Japan wants to do with, let's take Tokto to the ICJ and have that as an international arbiter, right? That's where you use it.
So that's the kind of dispute, you know, between two countries having like territorial disputes. That's the kind of stuff that ICJ hears. I mean, here, this is, you know, just, you know, it's a conflict that arose within Korea, not an international conflict. So, you know, I just don't know what the lawyers who are making these arguments are smoking at this point.
Okay. So, let's say this scenario plays out the way you envision, 7-1 or an 8-0 ruling in favor of impeachment. Certainly will be, we were saying, must-see TV. Everyone will be, eyes will be glued on the screen. Perhaps huge celebrations.
Huge rating on 11 a.m.
Exactly,
on Friday.
Yep. Exactly. And a lot of people who will be happy with the ruling, maybe some people who won't be happy with the ruling. What happens next? So the president, because I understand that she immediately is stripped of her presidential powers.
Yeah.
But when they talk about you got to leave the premises, usually eviction notices, they give you some
time.
Is she supposed to pack her bags right away, or is she allowed a little grace period?
Well, the Constitution doesn't really exactly say it, but, you know, she's supposed to vacate the premises right away. I guess the more urgent thing is that now her constitutional immunity against arrest and being charged it goes away. So, you know, theoretically, the prosecutor's office can actually walk in and say, well, President Park, we want to
Can they issue an emergency detention?
I mean, the prosecutor's office can just, you know, wait for the decision and immediately ask for the detention warrant to the court. And if it's issued, they can try to arrest her. I mean, theoretically, that's possible. I mean, they've already have booked her as, you know, prime suspect in the Chesun-shil case. The only thing that stopped them from, you know, either, you know, trying to arrest her or even, you know, arraign her is because of the constitutional protection. And as soon as, if the impeachment is upheld, the protection goes away automatically.
I know these are sort of like, I suppose, kind of getting in the weeds. The idea of raiding the Blue House, before there was, you know, a refusal by Blue House staff to let them in, citing national security secrets and all of that. Once the president is stripped of her powers after impeachment, do those Blue House staff members still hold jurisdiction there? That's the question. If the prosecutors try to come in and get into those servers.
Well, in fact, those staff actually now works for Hwang Kyo-won.
Right.
They actually, you know, their roles haven't changed. And it's Hwang Kyo-won who actually has all the personnel
decisions. Does he still have the political capital to be able to refuse access to the Blue House?
Right, that's the question, right? I mean, it's a political question, not a legal question. Clearly, he has a legal authority to say, hey, come in or stop, you can't. Now, once the impeachment is upheld, what kind of political calculation does Hwang Kyo-won actually engage in? And I think that's an open question.
You're not sure if he...
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you know, some people are arguing that, hey, he wants to sort of seen as a reform candidate from the conservative side, so which means that he might actually go hard against President Park Geun-hye. On the other hand, you know, maybe he wants to actually bolster his standing among the Park Geun-hye supporters, which means that he really goes hard against those who are trying to topple her and, you know, bring a case against her. So I think it could go either way. I think it's not a, you know, straightforward calculation.
I think
for
it's an idea of Park Chang-sung. If he goes the reformist way, does he believe he has the political skills to widen that pie to enough of a number?
Right.
Whereas if he goes the hard pro-Park route,
exactly,
can that number over 15% ever be exceeded, which I think at this point in time you would expect no, right? Because that's the hard pro-Park kind of baseball bat kind of guys, right?
I mean, but as long as you have that core 15% support, you sort of have a political future. You might not become the next president.
You can be a Daejeon, Daegu mayor or whatever.
Something. So, I mean, maybe he's looking into that. Who knows?
The regular prosecutors, the special investigative team, had a they call it a tea time with the reporters today. They seem to be projecting an air of determination that they will finish this case, see this through. They don't feel any barriers against them, regardless of the impeachment decision. That's what they're saying, yep. Professor Huang. It's the same question with Huang Kyo-an and the Blue House raid. Huang Kyo-an, as the former head of the Justice Ministry, acting president, prime minister right now, how much control does he have over people like Kim Soon-nam or the...
Not very much. Okay. I mean, at this point, Kim Soon-nam...
If the prosecution says, we're going full bore, they can go full bore.
I think they're just going to ignore whatever Huang says from now on, and they'll just make their own political calculation.
He does have... personnel power, right?
He does. That's the one card, so they'll sort of try to, you know, dance around it. And although he does, as you said, he doesn't have too much political capital. So if he does something really outlandish, you know, the prosecutor's office can just, you know, leak it to the press and there'll be an enormous, you know, outcry against Huang Kyo-an's decision. So for that, I think Huang Kyo-an's power is very much circumscribed.
Okay, so he may be able to block a raid on the Blue House if he wanted to. It'd be pretty, using a lot of political capital to do so. But as far, and because he spent a lot of it with refusing to extend the special probe, so he doesn't have a lot left. But as far as trying to call up Kim Soon-nam and say, I want you guys, I'll give you a guideline on what you should and should not investigate.
Basically, Kim Soon-nam is a free agent.
Okay.
He's looking out for himself. Yep.
Speaking of free agent, they seem to have appointed a guy as part of the... There's like sub-teams within the special investigative team.
Yeah.
The Woo Byung-woo allegations. They're going to go, I guess, attack the personal corruption stuff first. They have put in charge a guy who has no apparent personal ties within the prosecution to Woo Byung-woo. Delicate, because it does mean some of these prosecutors who are in within this hierarchy could be in trouble.
Exactly, yeah.
How hard do you think they'll go?
We'll see. I mean, this is going to be, I mean, as I said, Kim Soon-nam is a free agent. Whole prosecutor's office sort of like thinking about their own political future. And there's a substantial number of them in the high offices who have, you know, at some point worked with Woo Byung-woo closely. I mean, Woo Byung-woo had, you know, really a lot of phone calls with many of the high officials in the prosecutor's office. And all of them are saying, okay, how can I cover this up and what is my political and professional future? And, you know, we'll see. I mean, everyone will have a very complicated political calculation to make at this point.
There will be the argument about where they're going to spend the most of their energy on. It seems like the expedient and politically easy choices to go after Lotte and SK hard, because
we'll see. I mean, attacking Samsung will be also a fairly big task. You know, Samsung, Lee Jae-yong, we have a really big legal team, so that prosecutor's team will also need a lot of support.
I mean, because the trial with the special probe and Lee Jae-yong is just going to start pretty soon. But
pretty soon, exactly.
But you're talking about there are going to be additional.
So the prosecutor's office will actually have to decide how much resources they're going to give to the special probes team that is remaining to continue with the prosecution. I suspect they're going to give quite a bit of support. And, you know, and given the size of the legal team that Lee Jae-yong and his, you know, other Samsung executives have, I think that's going to need quite a bit of good prosecutor support.
There was this one question that the reporters kept asking them, and that was the question of when they initially had the list of charges announced on Choi Soon-sil with the K-Sports, and they did not include the bribery charges,
that's right?
They just talked about embezzlement, right?
Exactly.
The special probe decided this is indeed bribery, and that, of course, has severe implications on the president and her legal fate as well. They say that they're still looking through the mountains of evidence, but they're not going to make a decision yet. But they're open to, I suppose, changing their charges, right?
I think that basically shows how they're, you know, sort of playing the political game. I mean, there's been enough public announcements from the special probes, 90-day period that they probably have made some kind of calculation already. Now what they're looking at is they're looking at the popular sentiments, poll numbers, and say, okay, we have to make a decision about how hard we're going to push on this. And I think they're probably making their decision as we speak, and they'll probably be paying really close attention to exactly what the Constitutional Court does on Friday.
Well, the Constitutional Court decision, and we go back to that because it's going to be such a momentous occasion. As you say, and I think the vast majority of legal experts are predicting that they will vote for impeachment.
Right.
If they don't, what do you think happens?
First of all, I think we'll probably have the candlelight rallies in the order of maybe I mean, you think about the largest candlelight rally we had back in November, yeah. Something like that. Multiply by two, basically, I think.
As the weather gets warmer, exactly. People are outraged.
Exactly. I mean, the outrage would be, I can't even imagine. I mean, you know, people are outraged back in November. I think that was the highest point. If it gets dismissed, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Korea might actually get paralyzed for whatever.
On the flip side, if it is impeachment, these sort of scary words that are coming out of this pro-Park, so maybe not big in number, but certainly loud and potentially violent, how worried are we?
I think we should be worried somewhat. I mean, I think some of them are inclined towards some violent actions, although I think the Korean police, if they really put their mind to it, they can be very efficient in rounding these
some
people up.
Some skepticism on that.
Yeah, but once the Constitutional Court makes this decision, I think the turnabout you'll see in the police.
All the nunchi's gone is what you're saying. We say in Korean, right?
Maybe not 100%, but I'll say 90% of the nunchi will be gone, yes.
That leads us to the final question here, and I think it's been talked about, but the president could really, really do the nation a huge favor after this Constitutional Court decision. And again, we don't know what the final decision is, but if it is indeed that she is impeached and she is stripped of her powers, to make a national address calling for national unity, urging the entire country to accept the results of the Constitutional Court decision and put the issue to rest. Wouldn't that be, at least, you know, all the criticism and scorn she deserves, wouldn't that be at least something that could be mitigating for her and at least for her supporters to say, look, this is a good person.
Right. I mean, there'll be a good thing to do. There'll be a laudable thing to do. But based on everything we have seen from President Park Geun-hye so far, I'd say that would be out of character for her. It just doesn't sound like that is the kind of mindset she has.
Yeah. It really would, I think, I just feel like it would be a real benefit for her.
I think common sense-wise, it tells you that, yeah, that would be the last good thing that she does as an outgoing president. But, you know, everything she has done and said publicly, it would be so out of character for her that if she does that, I'll be really surprised.
Okay. One thing we haven't been surprised, Professor Hwang, is this wonderful analysis that you've provided. We always appreciate it. And I know we'll talk again soon.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.